Welcome to the BritishBattles.com podcast on the Battle of Vimiero, the victory won by Sir Arthur Wellesley, later the Duke of Wellington, over the French army of Marshal Junot on 21st August 1808, Wellesley's first major victory in the Peninsular War, which nearly ruined his military career. My name is John Mackenzie. I am the editor of BritishBattles.com. I write the text for the entries in BritishBattles.com. I also select the illustrations and draft the maps under my nom de carte of John Fawkes. I would invite you to look at the site at www.britishbattles.com/peninsula-war/battle-of-Vimiero, where you will see a number of illustrations and a map. I hope you enjoy this podcast, and I invite you to send me your comments on info@britishbattles.com. The Battle of Vimiero took place on 21st August 1808 in central Portugal. The combatants were the British and the Portuguese against the French. The generals at the Battle of Vimiero were Lieutenant General Sir Arthur Wellesley, later the Duke of Wellington, against Marshal Junot. Wellesley's army comprised 500 British and Portuguese cavalry, 20,000 infantry and 18 guns. The French army comprised one cavalry division of 2,000 men, five infantry brigades of 12,000 men and 23 guns. The British and Portuguese won the battle. The details of the regiments on each side and their order of battle are given on the British Battles Vimiero website. In July 1808, the British government of the Duke of Portland sent a British army to Portugal to assist the Portuguese in their insurrection against Marshal Junot's French army of occupation. The commander of this army, for the time being and in the absence of more senior commanders, was Lieutenant General Sir Arthur Wellesley, later to become the Duke of Wellington. Wellesley's army arrived by sea at the Portuguese city of Oporto on 24th July 1808, where he consulted with the Supreme Junta of Portugal. Wellesley received news that a British naval squadron had secured the area of Mondego Bay, providing a landing point for Wellesley's troops in the southern half of Portugal, from which he could march on the Portuguese capital, Lisbon. Sir John Moore was at Corunna in northwest Spain, and had reasonable expectations that he would be given command of the British troops assembling on the west coast of Spain and Portugal. The British government intended that the command would in due course fall on Sir Arthur Wellesley, but Wellesley was a lieutenant general junior to Moore. Not until Moore left the theatre of war could Wellesley take on the role of commander-in-chief. To this end, the government appointed two more senior, although less experienced or competent generals, to take overall command, General Sir Hugh Dalrymple and General Sir Harry Burrard. Dalrymple and Burrard were yet to reach Portugal. The Royal Navy convoy carrying Wellesley's troops arrived off Mondego Bay on 30th of July 1808. Wellesley disembarked his army between 1st and 8th August 1808. During this time, more troops commanded by General Spencer arrived, and Wellesley received information that a further 10,000 men were on their way, as were the two senior officers who would take over command from him. After a period assembling land transport in the area, on 10th August 1808, Wellesley broke camp and began his march on Lisbon, in the south of Portugal. The French general Loisin was inland with a division of troops. Marshal Junot recalled Loisin to Lisbon and sent General de la Borde with a force to hinder Wellesley's advance and assist Loisin in his withdrawal. On 17th August 1808, Wellesley defeated de la Borde's force at the Battle of Rolejar and forced its hurried withdrawal towards Torres Vedras and Lisbon. On 18th August 1808, Wellesley reached Vimiero, where his army covered the landing in the mouth of the River Maquira of General Anstruther's and General Acklin's brigades. Marshal Junot prepared to advance and attack the British, first distributing garrisons around Lisbon. His field army assembled at Torres Vedras. Wellesley also planned to advance and attack Junot. On the evening of 20th August 1808, Wellesley learnt that the British frigate HMS Brazen was in the bay with General Sir Harry Burrard, Wellesley's superior officer, on board. Before Burrard could land from the frigate, Wellesley went aboard and gave Burrard a frank view of the situation. Wellesley's assessment was that the British outnumbered the approaching French army, although the French cavalry was significantly stronger than the single regiment of light dragoons, the 20th, in Wellesley's army. Supplies were difficult to procure ashore, and the army was dependent on the fleet. A shortage of horses left the artillery almost incapable of movement, while the French artillery was larger and fully mobile. Burrard took the view that the army must await the arrival of Sir John Moore's corps from England before hostile operations could begin, and ordered Wellesley to abandon his planned advance. In the Lisbon area, Marshal Junot was assembling his army to take the offensive against the British landing. An appearance by a few British ships off Lisbon, a feint arranged by Wellesley, caused Junot to commit 7 battalions, comprising 6,000 men, to defensive positions around the city, significantly reducing the size of his field army. On 15th August 1808, Junot marched north with 2 battalions of infantry, a cavalry regiment, a squadron of volunteers, and 10 guns, with a substantial convoy of supplies. Junot was joined by Loison and finally by Delaborde after his defeat at the Battle of Rolichard, giving Junot a force of 13,000 men and 23 guns, which he formed into 2 divisions of infantry, each of 2 brigades, a reserve of grenadiers, around 11,000 men, and a cavalry division of 2,000 men. This army constituted just over half Junot's total force in Portugal. Aware that he had committed too much of his force to defending the Portuguese capital, Junot sent orders for further troops to come up from the Lisbon garrison. These troops were unable to join him before the Battle of Vimeiro. On 19th and 20th August 1808, Junot's cavalry spread around the British camp, restricting movement by small bodies of troops. However, the disembarkation of the 2 newly arrived British brigades continued. Junot had the French general's supreme contempt for the armies of other nations and resolved to attack the day after his arrival, on 21st August 1808, in spite of the clear disparity in numbers between his own army and Wellesley's. The village of Vimeiro lies behind and to the north of a low hill. Behind Vimeiro rises a high, steep ridge that runs west to east from the coast before curving to the northeast. At the point where the ridge turns northeast, behind Vimeiro, the ridge is split by a steep gorge in which the Maquera stream runs. The part of the ridge to the west of the Maquera stream is referred to as the West Ridge. The part of the ridge to the northeast of the Maquera stream is referred to as the East Ridge. The hill to the south of Vimeiro is referred to as Vimeiro Hill. The village of Maquera lies at the northern end of the gorge. The village of Ventosa lies at the northeastern end of the East Ridge. The lengths of each of the 2 ridges is approximately 1.5 miles. The distance from Vimeiro village to Ventosa is approximately 1.5 miles. Wellesley's army was encamped in the area, waiting to advance, not positioned for battle. Most of the army was on the western ridge, where there was a good supply of water, essential for an encampment. Hills, Crawford's, Nightingale's, Ackland's, Bowes and Ferguson's brigades, with 8 guns. Only the 40th Regiment was on the eastern ridge, where there was little water. Trant's Portuguese brigade was at Maquera. Fane's and Anstruther's brigades were on Vimeiro Hill. The 20th Light Dragoons, the rest of the artillery, 400 bullock carts and 500 pack mules were encamped on the flat ground to the north and west of Vimeiro. Infantry pickets were in forward positions, with the cavalry patrolling out towards Torres Vedras. In the early hours of 21st August 1808, a German officer serving in the 20th Light Dragoons rode into Wellesley's headquarters and reported that the French army was within an hour's march of Vimero. Wellesley ordered guns to be brought onto Vimero Hill, 3 9-pounders and 3 6-pounders. The troops were under arms by dawn, as was the practice. At around 7 a.m., a dust cloud announced the imminent arrival of the French army. However, not on the road from the south, leading directly to Vimero, but on the parallel road, 6 miles to the east. At 8 a.m., Mugeron's cavalry advanced over the hills to the east of Vimero, while Junot's infantry and guns came up behind them. Junot, after surveying the scenery in front of him, decided to occupy the east ridge, which appeared unoccupied, with a single brigade, while he attacked Vimero Hill from 3 sides with the rest of his infantry. At about the same time, Wellesley was bringing Acland's brigade up onto the west ridge. Junot directed Brenier's brigade, comprising the 4 battalions that had fought under Delaborde at Rolichard with a regiment of dragoons, to advance onto the east ridge. Brenier was to continue north and, turning west, to advance onto the east ridge at its furthest point. Junot's intention was, as soon as Brenier's attack was well underway, to launch an assault on Vimero Hill. Seeing the dust arising from Brenier's move to the north, Wellesley ordered Ferguson's, Nightingale's, Bowes, and Acland's brigades to move to the east ridge. Crawford's brigade marched to Maquera to support Trant. Fortescue concludes that Junot probably saw the move of the brigades from the west ridge, but that they would have gone out of sight behind Vimero Hill, leading Junot to conclude that the move was to reinforce the British in Vimero village. The French attack on Vimero Hill was made by Thomier's brigade and Charlot's brigade, comprising 4.5 battalions. Delaborde led Thomier on the right and Loisin led Charlot's on the left with 7 guns. The French attack on Vimero Hill fell on Fane's brigade on the British left and Anstruther's brigade on the British right. The British infantry were supported by 12 guns. Due to the nature of the ground and the tree cover, the French approached unseen until they were 900 yards from the British line. The French deployed to their left and advanced swiftly in dense columns, supported by the fire of their guns. The British replied with the fire of their 12 guns and the rifle fire of Fane's 60th and 95th Rifles, advancing in skirmishing order. The French paused at a hedge running along the rim of the hill before pushing on behind the retreating British skirmishers. Thomier's attack fell on the 50th Regiment on the left flank of Fane's brigade. The French column inclined to the right, leaving Colonel Walker, commanding the 50th, free to wheel his right wing round the flank of the French column. Walker's right-hand companies fired into the French column and the regiment charged. The drivers of 3 French guns cut the traces of their horses, freeing them from the guns, and galloped into their infantry, causing considerable disorder. Further volleys from the 50th caused Thomier's brigade to break and rush back down the slope, in Fortescue's words, in utter rout and confusion. While Thomier was engaging Fane, Charlot advanced on Anstruther's brigade. Anstruther's regiments were largely concealed in the broken ground, the 97th in line with Fane, the 43rd behind the 97th's right wing, the 52nd behind its left wing, and the 9th behind the 52nd. As Charlot's brigade emerged from a wood 150 yards away, the 97th fired several volleys that shook the French column. The 97th began to advance with increasing impetuosity. Seeing that the 97th could not be restrained, Anstruther ordered the 52nd to double round the 97th's left flank and attack the French column. The combined charge of the 97th and the 52nd broke up the French column and drove it back down the hillside. The attacking French force was completely disordered, all its guns captured, and 2 of the French generals, Delaborde and Charlot, wounded. Junot decided to commit his remaining infantry reserve, the 4 battalions of grenadiers, to an attack on Vimiero Hill, under Generals St. Clair and Kellerman, supported by 4 guns. General St. Clair led his 2 battalions of grenadiers along the road previously taken by Thomières. As they advanced, the French grenadiers came under fire from British howitzers, brought forward from the reserve. The howitzers were firing shrapnel shells and inflicted heavy casualties on the French troops with their bursting charges. The French guns attempted to reply, but it could only unlimber from time to time to avoid being left behind by the hurrying infantry column. St. Clair's grenadiers were about to deploy from their marching column when they came within range of 3 British battalions waiting in line. The British troops unleashed a converging volley fire on the grenadier column. The leading French platoons were annihilated and many of the artillery horses shot down, with both artillery colonels wounded. The rest of St. Clair's column turned and fled down the hill into a gully. General Kellerman was leading his 2 grenadier battalions along a hollow road a quarter of a mile to the north, also heading towards Vimiero. Kellerman's route took him around the left flank of Fane's brigade. Anstruther sent the 43rd Regiment to hold the village of Vimiero against Kellerman's troops, while Ackland, positioned on the east ridge, opened fire with his guns and sent 4 companies of light infantry to fire into Kellerman's flank. The British 43rd met Kellerman's grenadiers in the entrance to Vimiero village, and a confused and savage fight took place with bullet and bayonet until Kellerman's men were driven back. Vimiero Hill was covered with retreating French infantrymen and gunners, all the guns being abandoned to the British. At this point, the British 20th Light Dragoons were led by their commander, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Taylor, into the attack, cutting down the escaping French infantrymen. General Margaron brought his cavalrymen forward, and charging the 20th Light Dragoons, dispersed them, killing Taylor and inflicting significant casualties on the regiment. In the face of the threat from the French cavalry, the British infantry fell back to their positions on the hill. It was only at 10:30 a.m., when the fighting around Vimiero was coming to an end, that the action on the east ridge began. During the attacks on Vimiero Hill, Junot, becoming aware of the movement of the British brigades across the gorge onto the east ridge, and that Brenier was in danger of being heavily outnumbered, ordered Solignac's brigade with 6 guns to move to Brenier's support. Junot's instruction to Brenier was to march his brigade north and, taking the track leading west, to come into the village of Ventosa and advance southwest along the east ridge. Brenier seems to have taken the next road to the north, which bypassed Ventosa and brought him, after a considerable delay, to the northwest side of the east ridge. Seeing the British troops moving across from the west ridge onto the east ridge, and fearing that Brenier would be heavily outnumbered, Junot sent Solignac's brigade of 3 battalions with 3 guns to support Brenier. Solignac took the correct road and arrived at Ventosa, where he was confronted by the brigades of Ferguson, Bowes and Nightingale with 7 battalions. The British troops were lying down behind the crest of the ridge, and Solignac was unable to see the strength of the force he was confronting. Solignac deployed his 3 battalions and led them to the attack up the steep slope, under a heavy fire from the British light infantry skirmishers. At 100 yards range, the British infantry rose up and discharged 2 volleys, before advancing with fixed bayonets. Solignac was wounded, and his brigade fell back in confusion, abandoning their guns. Ferguson left the 71st and 82nd regiments to guard the captured guns and pursued the retreating French troops with the 36th and 40th regiments. Brenier, by this time coming up on Solignac's right, was drawn to the fighting by the sound of firing and surprised the 71st and 82nd regiments, which were not expecting a French counterattack, particularly up the slope from the north. The British regiments were driven back and the French guns retaken. At this point, the 29th Regiment came forward and took Brenier's men in the flank, while the 71st rallied and counterattacked, driving the French infantry back into the ravine from which they had surprised the 2 British battalions. During this struggle, the 71st used the captured French guns against Brenier's troops. Brenier, wounded, captured, and taken to Wellesley, made indiscreet inquiries about the progress of the French assault on Vimero, revealing to Wellesley that Junot must have committed all his reserves in the various attacks. At every point, the French had been heavily defeated and their guns captured. While Wellesley's army outnumbered Junot's, the victory had been gained by 12 British battalions fighting against 13 French, with a heavy preponderance of French guns and cavalry. The only French success was Margaron's overwhelming of the British 20th Light Dragoons. The French infantry fled east, leaving the road to Torres Vedras open. 14 of Junot's 24 guns were in British hands. From Wellesley's British brigades, those of Hill, Crawford and Bowes had not fired a shot. The remaining brigades were flushed with success. The road to Lisbon was open. At this point, Sir Harry Barrard came up and took over command of the army from Wellesley. Wellesley said to Barrard, "Sir Harry, now is your time to advance. The enemy are completely beaten, and we shall be in Lisbon in 3 days. We have a large body of troops which have not yet been in action. Let us move them from the right on the road to Torres Vedras, and I will follow the French with the left." Barrard refused to adopt Wellesley's urgent proposal. Ferguson sent an urgent message saying that the remnants of Solignac's brigade were in a ravine and it only needed British troops to seal off the ravine for the French brigade to be forced to surrender. Barrard refused Ferguson permission to take this step. General Thibault took command of the survivors from Brenier's and Solignac's brigade and led them east to join Junot. Due to the British failure to follow up the success at Vimero, Junot was enabled to reform his battered army and lead it back to Lisbon. In the Battle of Vimero, 720 British troops were killed or wounded. The British regiments with the largest number of casualties were the 43rd Regiment with 118 killed and wounded, the 71st with 112 killed and wounded, and the 50th with 89 killed and wounded. Lieutenant Colonel Charles Taylor of the 20th Light Dragoons was killed. The 20th Light Dragoons suffered 44 casualties, Taylor being the only officer casualty. French casualties were around 2,000 killed, wounded or captured. Several hundreds were made prisoner. 14 French guns were taken. The French generals Delaborde, Charlot, Brenier and Solignac were wounded, Brenier being captured. The Military General Service Medal 1848 was issued to all those serving in the British Army present at specified battles during the period 1793 to 1840, who were still alive in 1847 and applied for the medal. The medal was only issued to those entitled to one or more of the clasps. There were 21 clasps available for service in the Peninsular War. The Battle of Vimero, mistakenly embossed on the clasp as Vimiera, was one of the clasps. The battle honour Vimiera was awarded to the British regiments that took part in the battle. After the Battle of Vimero, the French Marshal Junot asked for a capitulation on the terms that he and his army be repatriated to France on British ships. The two British generals who had superseded Wellesley, Dalrymple and Barrard, agreed to the terms, and the French army was transported by the British fleet to France, together with the loot the French had taken while in Portugal. There was outrage in Britain, and the three senior officers involved, Dalrymple, Barrard and Wellesley, were subjected to an inquiry. Command of the British army in Spain passed to Sir John Moore. Sir Arthur Wellesley was exonerated by the inquiry and reinstated in command in the peninsula. In the meantime, Sir John Moore had conducted the retreat to Corunna and been killed. It was a quirk of the Battle of Vimero that the French troops, due to the intense heat, wore their white linen fatigues and not blue field uniforms. The French in white coats are shown in many of the pictures of the battle. Fortescue describes the Battle of Vimero as a great victory marred by the failure to follow up. He places the blame for that failure squarely on Barrard, who assumed command of the British and Portuguese army at the moment of victory through senior rank to Wellesley. British artillery used the shrapnel shell for the first time at the Battle of Vimero. Developed by Lieutenant Shrapnel of the Royal Artillery, Shrapnel shells exploded over the target, showering large numbers of bullets onto the enemy. During the fighting in Vimero, Sergeant Patrick of the 43rd Regiment and a French soldier were found dead, having bayoneted each other simultaneously through the body. Piper George Clark of the 71st Highland Light Infantry was wounded during the Battle of Vimero, but continued playing his pipes sitting on a rock. Piper Clark was presented with a set of silver-mounted pipes by the Highland Society of Edinburgh for his conduct at the Battle of Vimero. The friends of Lieutenant Colonel Charles Taylor, killed at the head of his regiment, the 20th Light Dragoons, at the Battle of Vimero, placed a memorial plaque in the cloisters of Christ Church College, Oxford, where Taylor had studied. Following the Battle of Vimero, Wellesley's senior officers presented him with a piece of plate in appreciation for his leadership and victory over Junot. At the end of the Napoleonic Wars, the King of Prussia presented the Duke of Wellington a set of plate portraying his victories over the French. A soup tureen showed the Battle of Vimero. This set is displayed in Apsley House. For references on the Battle of Vimero, see the extensive list of references given at the end of the British Battles Peninsular War Index on www.britishbattles.com/peninsula-war. That is the end of this podcast on the Battle of Vimero. I hope you have enjoyed it, and I thank you for listening. I would invite you to look at the British Battles website on the Battle of Vimero at www.britishbattles.com/peninsula-war/battle-of-Vimero, where you will find pictures of the battle, portraits of the commanders, images of the regiments that took part and the commemorative medals, and my map of the battle. My next podcast is the Battle of Sagoon, the dawn attack by the British 15th Hussars on 21st December 1808 in the snow that routed a French cavalry brigade and set the standard for British cavalry in the Peninsular War. Success to the 15th, and God save the King!